So, the purpose of today's show is we're going to do, Randy doesn't know this, but we're going to do an intervention. Randy, you've been buying a lot of the rumor.
I don't want to hear this. I'm leaving.
No.
You don't understand.
You don't understand me. You don't understand my needs.
No, Randy, so, no.
Randy FaceTimed me earlier and he said, hey man, I got kind of an addictive personality and I've been maybe buying a couple of things over the past couple of days. And he showed me this beautiful silver face, realistic, old school receiver amplifier. And I was like, continue onward, continue. This is the kind of addiction that we want to see. We want to, I said, he's going to be one of those like old curmudgeon audiophiles that has just like nothing but old school silver face amps and receivers throughout his home. He's going to hoard them all. Yeah.
Well, I can see it happening because number one,
they're awesome.
They sound actually really good. And yeah, like I did nothing to my Pioneer Trash receiver except clean it up a little bit and it works.
Yeah.
The realistic is in pretty good shape and yeah, it worked. Did a little bit of fallout in the right channel every now and again, but I'll figure that out. But
yeah,
bang for your buck. I mean,
yeah,
before shipping, I paid $90 for that realistic. Mm. $90.
Yeah.
What kind of AB amplifier can you get for $90?
Yeah. Slim pickings, my friend.
Well, it's getting slim pickings too in the old vintage audio world as well. It's there's not as much out there. That's why I kind of went the realistic route because that's kind of the last frontier. That's kind of the last frontier of vintage audio as far as being
like a hidden gem. Yeah
Well, they were, you know, low school.
Yeah,
when I was growing up, that's what I had. I had the low school realistic receiver. That was my first receiver.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I've had many experiences with those older receivers and amps, and I love them. I got to say, man, you know, the thing that we need to remember is like, if we're talking about like 70s, I mean, that's like the golden age of hi-fi. And
yeah, I read like 70 to 85 were like, that's when receivers were receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't clowning around. So dude, that's awesome, man. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a total of four.
Okay.
Let's start off free with my trash receiver.
Yeah.
Okay. Pioneer. Very, very nice. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up buying two realistics. And it wasn't my fault, right? It was late at night. I put in two offers and they weren't like super lowball offers, but they were two offers that I honestly didn't think either one of them would take.
Entertain.
I thought they would.
Yeah.
I would think, thought they would. Okay. This guy's kind of serious. I'm going to counter offer.
Yeah.
Nope. Offer accepted.
Done.
On both.
Done.
And then I started going down the rabbit hole of actually doing some research on these.
Yeah.
And Realistic had a top tier line and it's the STA 2000 series. So anything that's a 2000 was 85 to 100 watts. And back then that was monstrous power.
Yeah. It's like that kind of power is what it is.
Exactly. Look at those veins bulging out of that bicep and tricep. Yeah. Anyway.
This is called the bicep?
That's the bicep. Underneath is a tricep.
Down here?
Yeah. Right here is the brachialis.
I've been working on it.
Yeah.
I've been lifting up bookies over and over again.
Some of those speakers are heavy. Some of them have to be delivered like on a freight semi.
Well, how about that? You know, wouldn't you know? Yeah, I don't know how you would know that, but I just received some speakers through a freight company this morning.
Can you share what kind they are, or is it too early?
Maybe too early, but I'm going to do it anyways. I don't even care.
Oh, okay.
I'm crazy.
Ron don't care.
Yeah, Gershman Acoustics. They sent me over a pair of speakers to check out, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Big fan of Gershwin.
Gershman. Okay. Yeah. Ofra. She, nice lady. Sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. I've enjoyed every conversation that I've had with her. And I'm looking forward to seeing what it's all about.
And they, they're headquartered out of Antarctica, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it's a lot Canada. Of audio, it's either a lot that of or audio Canada. Files.
Either yeah. one.
Neighbors. It's Antarctica. The same. It's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Per capita, a lot of audio files in Antarctica.
Nothing ever changes on the Ron and Randy Audio Hour podcast here, folks. So if you're expecting us to get serious at some point, well, this
keep
is going to be...
Keep waiting. Hold on. Just hold
it. You just
hold
keep on. Watching these episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about a rough and tumble world of audio filing and
yeah.
Arctic frigid temperatures.
Yeah. Well, what do you... know
people, is there a city in Antarctica?
No. Maybe city in Antarctica? Like, I don't know.
Do people live there?
I think
let Josh, us know in the comments.
I think Josh does. I think Valor is the last man standing in Antarctica with his shirt off. He walks around with his shirt off in Antarctica just to be cool.
Well, I know he mountain biked from tip to tip.
He probably did.
With a big chain around his neck.
I can't talk about his upcoming videos, but we've seen some snippets and I'm excited.
His stuff is so cool.
It's so cool.
It is so much fun to watch. All three of you, Doug at DMS, Josh at Joshua Vella, and Ron at the old NRD. I got a new record today, maybe. All your stuff is so awesome. Like from a cinematography or whatever you call it, recording standpoint. It's just, you guys are really gifted.
We're having some fun. We're just turning on these cameras, swinging them around like a bunch of monkeys and seeing what happens.
That's what I do. I just turn it on and start talking.
Yeah. Well, dude, you've come a long way, my friend. You know, from a production standpoint, you've come a long way. Your videos are looking great, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But
yeah,
probably has a lot to do with you.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. No, I think you've always had a good eye. I think you've always had you knew what to do. You just needed just a couple little pushes here and there, and you know what you're doing, man. Don't give yourself more credit. Your photography skills are fantastic. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it makes me feel good. Are we going to talk about anything today, or just keep
probably
patting
not
each other on the back?
I brought out the Hagel H390, and I've had it playing nonstop music for 4 days now,
burning it in.
I'm burning the sucker in, man. I'm just letting it go. And I literally stole a bunch of power cords from Danny Ritchie, and I'm trying all of his power cords. So we're going to see.
You just doubled down on controversy. All right. First, you talk about electronic burn-in, and then you talk about power cords.
Yeah. So yeah.
Drop two gauntlets. Just drop.
Drop.
Come on. Come at me, bro.
Well, on my live stream, which you participated in, I talked about cable lifters, so I'm going to make some cable lifters as well. I'm just going to do the whole...
Well, why not?
Bend
two pieces of cardboard into a triangle and then plop your cables on top.
I probably won't do it that way, but
Is that not the correct way?
I don't know.
Isn't cardboard similar to wood?
Yeah.
Paper, fibers? I don't know. Maybe there's some resonance... components that you need pressure treated lumber.
It's so ridiculous, man,
to make your cable risers. You know what would be cool is if you like got a jigsaw out and then you cut them and it said like NRD so like letters, like you used to do that in a kid as kids, you know, spray paint them,
so it just the cable nestles like in between
the N.
Go through the R right
through the middle of the R.
Yeah, maybe.
Food for thought.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not telling you have to do it, but it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm having a whole lot of fun with it, man. I finished the M33 review, moved on to the next receiver. I want to pull in the Concept 300s and take a look at those. And
Q Acoustics.
Q Acoustics. Beautiful speakers, man. I like what those guys do.
Well, speaking of liking stuff, I like your... review the M33.
One amp like, to rule them all. Yeah.
I like the D-Rack. I wish they would bring that down to maybe a single ended. I wish they'd bring that technology down a couple of notches to single ended, maybe something a little bit lower power, maybe a little bit more. Well, I'm just going to say, I wish it was cheaper.
Yeah.
So whatever they need to do to bring that down, that would be very cool tech to have, because you can start eliminating some of the room issues.
Yeah.
With that D-Rack software.
Yeah. I want to jump in here and actually ask, because I don't know. So all of our listeners, viewers, if you know of like other Dirac options out there that maybe we aren't aware of, standalone units that maybe you can get, drop them in the comments section, because I'm kind of curious. I kind of feel the same way that you do, Randy, is that it would be nice if we had more options that included Dirac and, you know, plug and play modules, things like that, that we can throw into our systems. And
yeah, I don't know if standalone, I've never really gone down that rabbit hole. I know Emotiva had implements Dirac in a lot of its like surround processors.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything in like a two channel.
Yeah.
But I was looking, it's funny enough, I was looking at Emotiva's surround processor, and they have come out with a new one, but anyway, they're kind of getting rid of the old ones at a lower price. And while they're expensive, $1,200 for a processor and preamp, it's actually a pretty compelling argument when you start to look at, okay, you're getting a decent DAC, you're getting Dirac, you're getting a direct and pure direct mode for two channel. And like, it's at seven channels, even if you don't use it all, it's pretty compelling. So
yeah,
I wish they would come out with something like that for two channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be cool.
Yeah. I would love to see how you feel after using Dirac, like setting it up and like what you notice. And I could see you messing around with curves and doing different things. It's a joy. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I even tested it in an interesting way, Randy. I turned up the subs volume all the way up to where I knew the bass was just baked beyond belief, right? I ran Dirac, smooths it all out. So it's like, even if you're not right with volume, let alone like your crossover points or whatever, it just, it's like, I know how to fix this. It's pretty cool.
So you just hook up a mic and put it in the listening position?
Yeah, with the M33, it comes with a mic. You put it in the listening position, and then you put it over to the left in the front, to the right in the front, up high, and then behind you. Like, you're taking a number of different samples, and then it runs its algorithm, cleans it up. And one thing that I did early on, because I was like, what they say you end up with was difficult for me to believe. And since I have other measurement systems outside of what they're telling me, I remeasured, and it was exactly what they say it is, like straight line. I mean, it was like, there's no way in the world you can get that linear of a response on your own. There's no way. It's not, we're talking in-room response that is as flat as a pancake. It was crazy.
I remember you saying that and just being like, you were legitimately surprised.
Ooh.
You're like, wow. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like it was marketing nonsense and jargon. It's like, I don't believe that that's how clean it actually gets, but it does. Now, I will say this, that, and I won't back down on this, I think after 500 hertz, even though it is linear, it doesn't sound as good to me. I feel like they are robbing some clarity, some of the spatial cues, things like that. So I really like using Dirac for down low. And that's typically where you need it the most. It's like, we have bass issues and problems. Yeah. It's like, fix all that junk and then just leave the top end alone. It's fine.
It's interesting that you say that, because I have a Marantz receiver that has, I think it's called Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's a room correction software, and it's way more intense than the majority of the receivers I've had. So it's, again, it's a six position sample. And so I did the whole thing, and it was a surround system I have in my room. And then what I did is I very similar experience to you. At the time, I had the Klipsch RP600Ms, and it gives you a preset EQ curve. Now, I don't think that it's doing as much as the Dirac. I think it's just doing EQs and levels. and some time alignment.
Mm-hmm.
But when I turned it on, I was like, it sounds good, but I felt like it, to your point, robbed the clips of their essence.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I just bypassed the front two channels.
There you go.
And then I got that kind of the flavor of the clips back.
Yeah. That's cool.
But it's very interesting. It's something that I want to go down that rabbit hole even more. And I've never really considered it for two channel listening, only for home theater applications.
Yeah. For you guys that are listening to us, have you messed around with it? What's your experience been? And also, we actually heard from Dirac themselves, and they want to set up a show where we're going to do a, audio hour podcast with the guy from Dirac. So we're going to actually talk to him. So if you guys have specific questions that you want us to ask him when that happens, it looks like it's going to be a couple of weeks out, just let us know. And we'll ask straight up, what's whatever you guys want us to ask. So,
yeah, I think digital manipulation of all that stuff is very cool. It's kind of the future, I think.
Yeah,
you get on that processing going on, and you can still maintain, you don't have to do it in the speaker. Let's do it in something that's got some processing power, like a processor or a receiver or amp or something.
Sure.
I think it's really cool. I think it's the future.
Yeah.
The future of hi-fi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be part of the future for sure. Yeah.
What do you think the other part is? Skynet?
Skynet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Thomas from Thomas and Sarah is gonna come up with something that is just gonna change the world.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Like a cool chocolate cake recipe.
Audiophile conspiracies.
Audiophile chocolate cake.
Maybe. dude, I wanted to ask you something.
Shoot.
Do you ever worry after you knock out reviews, whatever, do you ever worry was I wrong? Did I get that one?
Every time. Every time. I mean, now, as I've gone down this journey, I have seen that the majority of the time, my opinions match up with my listeners' opinions for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't generally watch other reviews or read other reviews prior to me doing the review. I just kind of do my best and I put it out there. And sometimes I'll go back and read other people's reviews. And most of the time they match up. Sometimes they don't. Every time I put something out there, I feel like, did I screw this up? Did I mess this up? Am I totally wrong? And I just think that's kind of part of my personality that I always want to do better. Yeah. So I don't. Short answer to your question, yes.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten more confident.
Sure.
In some of them, because I do, I can pick out a speaker that's fatiguing. I can pick out a DAC that's a little bit too digital on top. I'm pretty confident with that stuff. There's other things that I'm just not that confident in.
Yeah.
Why do you ask?
Yesterday, I sat down and I listened to the H390 after a few days of burning it in and listening to the exact same playlist and content that I listened to with the NAD M33. And I kind of had a moment in there where I thought about the M33 review and being specific, talking about the mid-band performance. I realized it's not that I didn't get it wrong. I think I did fine. But I wish I would have said something in addition to the comments that I made, which is someone can say that the NAD M33 sounds digital.
Mm.
And they would be right. And it has to sound digital because it is. Any analog input that you plug into the M33, anything that you plug into the M33 is being routed through a analog to digital converter. They are actually converting it. It's a digital amplifier, right?
Yeah.
Everything you hear is being rehashed from this engine that NAD has built. And they, of course, love it because, they have to. But I was sitting there listening to it and comparing it to just a true blue Class AB amplifier, no digital stuff. And I realized in this mid-band, it sounds so much more at ease and just like, oh, that's nice. And I went back and I listened to my mid-band assessment on the NADM33 and it still holds up, but I wish I would have, in addition, say, let's talk about this perhaps sounding digital. What does that mean? Well, it means that perhaps it's going to be a little bit clinical, a little bit, you know, precise and detailed, but it might not give you the body. It might not give you that sink into your chair kind of a feeling that mm-hmm. some Class A or Class AB amplifiers are going to give you. And so then I think I could have probably compared and contrasted a little bit better during that part, but I was thinking about that.
I mean, we kind of get a redo, and we've done that a lot on our reviews where we kind of rehash them here and talk about, because I have that thought all the time. I will sometimes watch back a review and be like, man, I missed that. I wish I would have said this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But I mean, chances are everybody that watched the review is probably not going to watch this podcast, but some will. I mean, it's kind of like, all right, you know what? These podcasts actually could be really cool because it could legitimately be a rehash of some of the reviews on what we missed. What do we miss? Has our opinions changed?
Yeah.
And what do we wish we could have said? Done. Boom.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think it also lends itself to just the fact that we're people, right? We make mistakes. We don't get it perfect every single time. And even more, like, I feel sometimes after I'm done with the review, all the anxiety that I had, all the pressure, it's when that's gone, I feel a little bit more free just to have conversations like this. And it's like, oh, I wish I would have said this in the review, but I'm saying it now because I don't feel any pressure anymore. It's like the review's over. It's done. You know, like, let's just talk, you know? So it's still, look, it's an incredible machine. And the feature set is, I think, the number one reason why somebody is buying the NADM33 is they want like a amplifier from the future. And that's what that feels like. It feels like this is an amp. I've been doing Randy hands a lot. My wife always calls me out. She's like, he goes from the inside and then he does this. And I'm like, I think it's Randy hands. I think it's Randy hands. But anyways, you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to get long-winded about it.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so. I think our opinions are not the set, you know, chiseled in stone, you know, be all end all, and our reviews, you know, can be flawed. There's a lot of times I've messed things up.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at the Topping D90.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I thought I returned that. Mm. And I'm looking at it right now. Maybe that's not. I don't know.
Mm.
I thought I returned that.
So it makes me wonder what you did, what you actually returned.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Surprise!
Why is there an old cheese sandwich in this box from Randy?
That Randy, he's a funny guy. He'll get you.
Classic Randy sending me moldy cheese sandwiches. Yeah. I did the Grado review today.
Yeah, SR80Es. I got so excited. I haven't watched it, but I left a comment. I was like, when did you get Grado SR80Es? It's like, look, the 99s, as everybody knows, it's like a conspiracy at this point. It's like Ron just trying to sell us a bunch of 99s. Yes, I am. I won't put Amazon links below. I'm joking. But the SR80E has a special place in my heart as long-standing. It's like an old friend.
Yeah.
Just a great, fun, enjoyable headphone.
Well, the review is wildly unpopular.
Yeah, stupid headphones. Stupid headphones.
I do like these, though, and I'm wearing them right now, and I know you can't see it because it's a little bit dark in here. Yeah. But I do like them, and one of the biggest reasons why I like them is because of how open they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this thought. I love them for podcasts because I can't always get like the feedback right in my mm-hmm. ears. And so mm-hmm. I don't know like where my volume is on my voice mm-hmm. all the time. And I was in the living room with the girls and they were messing around and I had these on and it was like I could hear everything. And a lot of times when I'm in there with headphones on, they'll say something. I can't hear anything. I'm like, what? And
yeah.
Stop everything. Mm-hmm. But for this, I can still hear everything. Now, have granted.
Conversation. Yeah.
Exactly. Granted, you're covering up the music, right?
Yeah.
Signal to noise ratio. That's the noise literally going on around me.
Yeah.
They're light. They're mm-hmm. comfortable. I didn't think mm-hmm. I'd like on ears.
Comfy. Yeah.
Not built well, or what I would consider to be built well.
Retro. They're retro built.
Well, I'm not even talking about how they look. I'm talking about like the materials used.
Plasticky. Yeah.
Very. But you know what? They're made in the US. I had a really good experience with a warranty return. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of bad for Grado. But I like them. I like and I go to grab them an awful lot.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, I've had my pair for like 5 years now. I really do feel like that is a headphone that it simmers for such a long time to where they just get better and better and better. And it'll be at a point where like you will never want to replace them. You'll be like, I just hang in there, little guys. Don't fall apart on me. They just sound incredible.
Yeah, well, for me, they opened up a lot from a bass perspective.
Yeah.
Because I felt when I first got them, they didn't have any bass.
Any bass. Those drivers need to relax. Yeah. Right.
Well, and whether it's actual mechanical break-in or if it's my brain breaking in, regardless, they got both. Yeah. A lot better as I listen to them. So,
yeah. Cool.
Big fan. They don't make them anymore. They're not around anymore. They have the SR80X now.
Have they discontinued the 80Es? They're okay. Mm.
80Xs.
80X. Yeah.
80X.
I'd love to do a side by side at some point. I see a turntable back there propped up high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't fall over.
Hold on.
Oh, there. Lord. Oh, Lord. Yeah.
It's a U-turn.
Yeah.
U-turn.
You've been spending time with that? Spinning some records?
Yeah. So I showed it to you the other day. I don't know where I put it. I got a copy of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Jimmy Page remaster.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. interestingly enough, one of the few places that you can get actual affordable vinyl of all places is Walmart.
There you go.
$22. That's
thanks, Randy. You just blew it. You just blew it.
I think Walmart's inventory system can probably handle a few audio nerds rushing into Walmart to get it. I think they've
running got down the aisles with their Hawaiian shirts and like Black sandals. Friday,
people knocking over each other to get a $50 off a TV. It's mass hysteria, vinyl. No, it's the audio nerds.
It's the audio nerds.
Man, that one's Pink Floyd.
This ain't the right pressing.
Walmart pressing. I don't even know what I was saying. But.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, vinyl. Yes.
Yeah.
I've been loving it. I've been trying to peel that onion back because I don't know what I'm listening to when I listen to a turntable because there are so many different parts, right?
Yeah.
You have the cartridge and the then you have the tone arm and then you have the plinth and then you have the phono stage. So right now I have three turntables in the U-turn. I have the Andover spin deck.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
Which is made by
Project.
I don't know why I get Riga and Project mixed up.
It's okay.
And then I also have the Fluence RT83, which is my personal table.
I just realized we haven't talked since you released your. So did you do the spin bass and spin deck, like the little.
The whole thing. Yep. I already did that whole thing.
So I have no idea what you said in the review. We haven't talked about it. I will tell you, I loved that thing. I was like, this is so cool. Like
I didn't know you reviewed it.
I reviewed it. Yeah, I loved it. I was pleasantly surprised how good that thing actually sounds. I was honestly thinking this is going to be the most gimmicky, quick return. Sorry, Sue, I love you to death, but no, this thing's going back. And you know what? I was wrong. I was like, this actually is really cool.
That was my exact experience. I'm listening to it, and I had it in a corner initially. Number one, I was like, whoa, this thing puts up some bass.
Yeah.
And so, and then two, I was like, there's stereo separation here.
There is.
Number three, I'm like, these highs are pretty good, and I don't hear any like forward, like uncomfortable forward top end mid range.
Yeah.
It was a breeze to set up. I had all, easy. I had four boxes, unopened boxes. And I did it on purpose. I looked at my watch and then I opened and within 67 minutes. And I'm talking about, I put together the stand.
Yeah.
Within 67 minutes, I had music playing out of it.
Awesome. It's and, so cool.
Well, and it's something that I think will get used.
Mm-hmm.
And my point in the review was, okay, what's the best camera? Is it your cinema camera that takes 5 to 10 minutes to set up and get all the, or is it your cell phone camera?
It's this camera because you use it the most.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was my point. I'm like, what is the best hi-fi system? Probably the one that you enjoy and you use the most.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Why are you? Oh, it shows that you're muted. Oh, you muted yourself because
I coughed. Yeah.
Okay. I got nervous. Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. That's awesome. So
very impressed. And you can put whatever table you want to on it.
Yeah. I will tell you, I like where you're, you know, I completely agree with you. When I did the review of the Harmony turntable, I kind of had the same conundrum. It's literally the first turntable review that I've done in eons, many, many years. Right. And I was like, how do you review a turntable? Like, how do you walk people through how does this turntable sound? It's kind of a dumb question to begin with because there's so many variables in play. It's almost like you just have to explain like what the experience of using the turntable is like, and you need to talk about what the entire experience was like, and that's the review. Because saying how the turntable sounds, well, what cart did you use? What phono did you use? What amplifier did you use? What speakers? Like, all of that is part of the experience of it.
Yeah. I am 100% back all in to physical media.
Yeah.
And I still, almost all of my listening is still done through digital.
Yeah.
But I am so excited to be back to physical media, to be able to touch it. And I mean, I've got stuff laying right here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
CDs. I bought some records this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing a video probably today to maybe release tomorrow or Sunday about some things that include that. And you on your live stream, and it was Brock that actually asked the question about, hey, are CDs good enough? And your comment was not only are they good enough, they're better.
Yeah.
And then high res or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think while the convenience factor of digital has flipped the music world upside down and brought in, I mean, face it, if you're 20 or younger, or probably even 25 or younger, you've probably never gone to buy physical media.
Right.
Unless it's a novelty for you.
Right.
And I just love it. I love everything about opening up the CD or the record, putting it on there, pressing the close and having the thing go in there, pressing play. And it brings me back to, I am not listening to music a la carte anymore, where I have this song and then this song and then this song. I'm listening to a record now or a CD now. I'm listening to what that artist created in totality. And I've really been, it's taken my music enjoyment to kind of the next level. I've really enjoyed it.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. U2 War. I got the U2 War remaster.
So cool.
Oh.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Sunday, dude, Bloody Sunday. Great. One of the best songs ever.
Ever. Yeah. Yep.
That percussion, that guitar riff at the beginning. Oh,
so good. Yeah, so good.
What else do you have to say?
Dude, that was beautiful, man. I could say the exact same thing you just said in a different way all over again, but you hit the nail on the head, and I completely agree with you.
That's I get beautiful. A little excited.
Yeah.
I love music, man. I love it.
You know, it reminds me of this time it was a good while back. My favorite spot in Mesa was Half Price Books. And
oh yeah, that's where I got those.
Mm-hmm. It was my favorite spot. I think it was just...
Just 1 second.
Yeah.
I took a whole... I literally took one of those plastic containers, you know, you can put the lids on, stack them up. I took a bucket of books into there. I'm like, here you go. And they're like, Randy, your offer is ready. And I go back there and they're like, yeah. And I felt like I was on Pawn Star or whatever that thing. Like,
these are pretty crusty, you know.
They're like, yeah, we can give you $4.10. And I'm telling you, that thing weighed like 35, 40 pounds when I'm walking in there. And I literally laughed out loud and I was like, all right, give me the $4.10. That pays for one of my CDs I'm getting. I was like, it was allowed, like I was amused at because I'm like
$4.10,
and the 10 cents was very important, right?
Yeah,
so that means that some of those books were either a nickel that they're giving me.
They want to make sure you got your money's worth, buddy. You know, I mean, you know, that extra dime was going to come in handy at some point.
I had my wallet out. I'm looking down at it. They say $4.10. I start laughing. And I just go, all right. Like, all right. I didn't care.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Got me down. So anyway, Mesa, Arizona, Half Price Books.
I remember being in there a long time ago, and I was looking through some records, and there were some younger kids, two dudes that came in, and maybe I'm just getting old and crappy. I was like, these punk kids, what are they doing in here?
Get out of my CD collection.
I was looking at records, right? I'm flipping through and I see him come over and they start grabbing them. Oh, have you heard this? And da, da, da. What surprised me about these two punk kids is they were in the jazz section. And I was like,
all right.
Am I on TV? Like, what? Seriously, that's strange. Like, that's odd.
Hey, they can go ahead and pick that section over. I don't care.
You're like, I don't give a rip. Yeah.
Give me a copy of Cinderella Night songs and I'm happy. And,
dude, what was funny about it is they're in the brand new section, and these records are like $20 to $25 a pop, right?
They've
brand
gone new. Up from gone there up, right? too, man.
Oh, I'm sure. $30 if not higher. And as I'm on the opposite side, so I can kind of see over and see what they're doing. And as they're pulling out these records, I'm just glancing and I'm seeing what they're getting. And I noticed a trend that the vast majority of the records they were getting were from a particular label. I don't remember the label's name, but they're notorious for being awful. More often than not, they're always digital cuts. They're always crappy pressings. They're always terrible. And I was like, okay, all right. I'm going to go talk to them. I want to talk to these guys and see if I can help them out, you know? So I walked over there. I was like, hey, I don't want to be weird or anything, but can I just talk to you for a minute about those records? And they're like, yeah, what's up, dude? And start talking, end up being just the sweetest two kids in the world. And they're like, yeah, my dad is really into jazz and we're actually buying a bunch of jazz records for him. And these are like the ones that we're supposed to get. And I was like, don't get these pressings. I was like, come over here to the used section with me. And we start flipping through original pressings, older pressings, stuff that I knew would be good from analog. And they were just over the moon. They were so happy. They were just like, dude, that was so rad that you should, like, we had no idea and we didn't know what to get. We just wanted to get this for pops, you know? And I was like,
pull out a card. You're welcome, Ron from New Record Day.
Ron from New Record Day. At your service. No, but to your point, The physical media. This is something that I wish would happen more, is you're now talking to somebody about music. You're helping them. Like,
you would have never met those guys if you weren't looking at physical media.
Just stream it. It'll sound great. It's high res. It'll sound awesome.
You would never even have given them that, that suggestion. Just stream it.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have been there.
So it's just a great way to, you know, remember that this is our community. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's like, it drives me crazy anytime I hear a live stream or any review that is like bashing the community. Cause it's like, it's our community. It's ours. Let's take care of it. Let's build it up. Let's help it out.
We're not the majority here.
Yeah. We are the community. All of us collectively, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your opinion? Do you think CDs are going to make a resurgence, or you think they're just going to go away?
I don't know if they're going to make a resurgence, but I don't think they will totally go away. I think it'll be similar to as what we experienced with vinyl, where even through the dark age of vinyl in the 90s, like where we felt like it's over, like the show's over, right? I think that what we'll see is it will dwindle. It'll become smaller. But I think that because of our community and people that miss physical media, I think they'll keep it alive.
Well, I found it interesting. I did a little research into this, and I was looking at how much physical media was bought like last year or the year before. Anyway, whatever year they had statistics for. And I'm not going to get the numbers right, but I think I'm going to get the percentages close. Out of all the physical media sold, and I would have thought it would have been the opposite. I thought the majority of it would have been vinyl, but it's actually the opposite. The majority of all the physical media sold was CDs.
Wow.
And by not an insignificant percentage, I think it was something like 70-30.
Wow.
Like 70% of the physical media sold was actually sold on CDs. Yeah. And I thought that was cool. But what blew me away about Half Price Books was the cassette prices. Metallica, Ride the Lightning, $50. For a cassette that I probably threw out three copies of those over my lifetime.
Insane. It's insane.
Cassettes, man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I actually found a lot of those cassettes in some guy's garbage a long time ago, and then I sold them. I got a lot of money for them. So,
like G.I. Joe guys and Star Wars guys?
No, I was just kidding. Yeah.
Who thinks about cassettes, man?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I actually went back to listen to some cassettes not too long ago, maybe within the last year. And I was like, man, these things sound like dirt. They did not sound good to me. I was like,
from what perspective, like the dynamic range, the highs, the lows, details,
I think everything. I was like, there's maybe, but here's the deal is like, these are old cassettes that I've had for eons. Right. So it's very possible that physical media, it gives up the ghost at some point. Like if they were fresh and mint, who knows? The experience might be different, but I didn't think they sounded. I was entertaining the idea of like, I know what I need. Honey, Sarah, we need to get a cassette player. I need a cassette player in the old rig. So, but I determined it's not worth the fight.
So. Well, I've actually got a cassette deck on its way.
And that's cool.
Nagatachi. Brock is sending it to me. And I have a new cassette, September 10th, the remastered Metallica Black. That's the only reason why that's the only reason I have a cassette player coming.
Yeah.
Is for the cassette that I don't own.
There you go. Well, dude, and for me, it won't change any of the memories that I've had of like, dude, we played the cassette of Nirvana Unplugged to the point where that sucker, it was spinning off the reels, man. We played that a lot in the old Nissan Sentra, flipping it over. Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cassettes. I remember having a portable CD player that I hooked up to my car stereo with a cassette adapter. You remember those?
Yeah.
It had the cord coming out on one side and, and then I had a portable CD player that I had to put on my leg because if not, the vibrations, it would just skip all the time. And then I'd turn a corner, the CD player would fall off my lap, and cords everywhere. I felt like Chevy Chase trying to put skis into the back of the car, you know, picking it up. And
that is awesome.
Dude, that's awesome.
Good times.
It was great times, man. Cassettes. Getting back to the beginning. I think that's what this is about, man.
Yeah. All right, man.
Is that it?
I think we're 45 minutes in. Usually when we start running out of things to chat about. So
I could go on and on. I can't stop talking. Randy, what do you say? Randy can't stop talking about it.
That was your joke, and then I stole it because it's so damn funny. You use that joke on me a lot.
Air fryers. It was about the air fryers.
Ron won't shut up about it. You know, I was like, the way you said it in your dumb face, I was like, I was like, it's so funny. And so I did it in the live stream. I was like, Randy won't shut up about it.
He won't shut up about it.
He just won't stop talking about it.
Yeah. I remember that. That was the Josh Fowler between two speakers.
Yeah.
Ron will shut up about it. And then Josh said, I go pressure cookers. And I think I asked him what PSI it was. And he was like, I'm not sure about that. I go, pounds force per square inch.
Yeah.
Because he was saying, I don't know about what the PSI is. Not, I don't know what PSI stands for. And I slayed him with that.
Yeah.
I had to actually cut it because he just. I got him so good on the pounds four square inch. And I did it my dumb between two speakers.
Yeah. 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 Who's the genius YouTuber now, Josh Valor?
I got to bring that back. I need to do another one.
I know. I miss him, man.
A lot of editing.
Yeah.
Except for yours. Yours was the only one I didn't have to edit.
Oh, comedy gold. All right, man, you want to take us home? You want to take us home on this one?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, we're on a whole bunch of podcast platforms. They'll be linked in the description and Ron's description because I don't know how to do it anymore. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google. I don't even know if that's a thing. Spotify, all the good stuff. Hank's Podcast Barn.
Mm-mm. We're not allowed to mention Hank's ever again.
Oh, okay. That's right. Non-disclosure. The settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Maybe we'll link some stuff we talked about in the description, but maybe not. I don't know. But thanks for watching. If you watched it, if you're to this point, you must be one big fan of, I got a new record today.
The old R&R
and the cheap audio mans.
All right, guys. Bye-bye. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later, bro.
Good day.
Good day to you,
sir.
All right, guys. Bye.
See ya.